This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So much to do today, and it's Jets Day here on 98.7 ESPN. Every show is going to have someone, at least one, if not more, players, coaches from the Jets. It starts with us in about 15 minutes with Marcus May. Jameson Crowder is going to join us at 10 o'clock. But before we get to that, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing all right, I guess. I mean, I've been better.
That was very slow getting to the I'm doing all right.
Well, how do you think I'm doing? I mean, in all honesty, I feel like the line judge in the Djokovic match right now after what I watched last night.
The poor woman.
8-2. And oh, by the way, the Mets battle all the way back and then still find a way in excruciating fashion to lose the game.
Don't you wish they didn't come back at all?
No, I don't.
Really?
I mean, I can't sit here and pretend like I like the fact that, I mean, they are a resilient team, which I like and I appreciate. It's just, I mean, the roller coaster of emotions that is being a Mets fan is crazy.
It really is a special kind of torture, isn't it? I would honestly, and maybe you look at this, you're like, come on. I would have preferred just, you know what, lose the game 6-3. You don't have to waste bullpen guys. You play to fight another day today. But to come back and to get, like, McNeil hits that home run, and I actually jumped up. I was actually excited. And then Familia comes in, you're like, all right, here we go. And there we went, and the Mets do what the Mets do.
Yeah, but I can't sit here and pretend like I wasn't excited that they came back.
No, you were excited, but it rips so much away when you get to that moment, and then you find a way to lose anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they make you earn it. I mean, the Mets make you earn the fandom. You know what I mean? Like, they put you through, like, gut-wrenching performances where it's like, I mean, like you said it, like, when McNeil hits that home run, like, I'm pumped because the bullpen's been good. I mean, in all honesty, the bullpen has been pretty good, and then Familia gives up the run, and then we all know what happens after that. But
yep,
at least the bats have turned around, right? I mean, they're hitting now, which is nice.
I guess. I don't know. It's like, you know what the thing is? How many, and we'll get into so much today. I mean, there's the tennis we're getting into with Djokovic, and obviously football, and it's Jets Day here on 98.7 and the Yankees. I mean, their bullpen is the Mets bullpen right now. It's a disaster. And the NBA, and there's so much for us to get into. But it's like, how many of these losses can you endure as a Mets fan before you're like, I can't take it anymore, Rick? I mean, they've played, what, 40 games, something like that, in that neighborhood? And they've had 4 or 5 losses, which are, I mean, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking?
Yeah, but that's who this team is. I mean, that's what this team is. I mean, this is expected. Like, you expect things like this to happen as a Mets fan. This is what you sign up for. This is what we signed up for. I mean, there's no turning back at this point. There isn't.
No, there's no turning back. I just, you know, at least there's the silver lining. At least I look for the pot of gold with the owner. Because I'm like, as bad as it gets now, I have an owner that's got so much. Like, I'm watching Real Muto. I'm like, this guy's going to be on my team next year. Like, I haven't had feelings like that in a very long time as a Mets fan. So it's the first time that you feel like, at least for me, the future is somewhat bright because they're going to have a huge influx of money coming in.
Of course it is. I mean, just fingers crossed. Again, I mean, I had Carlin, you know, saying this last week when he was filling in, like, leave it to the Mets to have all of a sudden Steve Cohen wins the bid and then he doesn't get approved by Major League Baseball and the owners. I was like, you can't, don't even put that out in the universe.
No,
like,
he's going to get approved.
Thank you. Let's just be happy. I mean, Steve Cohen, we got who we wanted. But, no, listen, as painful as it is sometimes to be a New York Mets fan, I mean, and we've said this a bunch of different times, I mean, the hope for this team, because, I mean, let's face it, starting pitching is still a humongous question mark. We don't necessarily trust the bullpen, but we said this from the beginning of the season. If this team was going to be a playoff team, they would need to be carried by their offense. And McNeil had been struggling, Alonso had been struggling, and over the last 11 games, McNeil's bats come around. Apparently, using Todd Frazier's bat is what Pete Alonso needed to get his, you know, himself turned around. And Conforto, I mean,
well,
he's been great.
Yeah, he really has.
And Dom Smith's been great offensively, too. And then right. Jimenez has been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I'd like to see him, and it looks like they're going to do this in the lineup every day as your shortstop. He's a really, except against the Yankees that day when he's dropped.
Have you ever seen anything like that before, though?
Oh, my God. I honestly, if there's such a thing as sports depression, I was in sports depression right after that game. You can't make that up.
Yeah, but it's like you're almost bipolar as a Mets fan. It's like 1 second, like, you're like, it's over. Like, I can't take it anymore. And then all of a sudden, next day, it's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And then, no, even during the course of a game, it's the same thing.
The Mets really define sports, don't they? Like, the Mets define sports because it's so gripping. And then you have these things happen, and you're like, I can't, I'm done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And then things happen, you're like, I'm back. I love it. It's so great. Like, that's why it's the greatest show that we have, because of the ups and downs. It's real life, you know?
Well, it's the best reality television that we have. It really
stink
is.
Stink sometimes. Oh, my God.
They no, it does stink. Just imagine now, too. I mean, all of a sudden now on Monday, your Giants play their first game.
I can't wait.
So, I mean, just the amount of sports going on right now is incredible.
I mean, we got the U.S. Open. We had the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. We got hockey playoffs. We got the NBA. I don't know if you feel like this. The Tuesday, like today, the day after Labor Day, to me, was always like the signifies the start of the fall, of start of sports. And now football's here, and it's going to be here Thursday night, and Sunday's a full day, and Monday we have the doubleheader. It doesn't feel like that this year. It feels like sports started weeks ago because we're just, I mean, hockey and basketball, and, I mean, it's baseball. It's just, it's full force, and it's been that way for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, it's craziness. It really is. Like, it's almost, I don't want to say there's too much to watch just because.
There's a lot, though.
I got, Dustin Johnson winning 15 mil yesterday. We got the Kentucky Derby, like you mentioned. I got game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, if you want to call it game, whatever you want to call that disaster. And then you got baseball. I mean, last month of baseball, basketball. Now you're going to have, I still, honestly, I don't know why it hasn't sunk in yet. Maybe just because, I had a new baby and everything else. The fact that football starts on Thursday is still crazy to me.
Well, the reason it hasn't sunk in is you haven't seen it yet. Right, every other season you get preseason, so you kind of get the taste of it. It whets your appetite. This season, there's none of that. You watch, on film, on Twitter, on whatever, on SportsCenter for a minute or two, some of the scrimmages they're having, but you haven't sat and watched a game. You haven't seen your team run onto the field. So yeah, it snuck up. But Thursday night, 8 o'clock. I mean, it all starts. Football's back.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I'm watching some of these college football games. It's amazing that we're actually at this point. From where we were in March, the fact that we do actually now have all these sports playing at the same time. There were times when we said it. And even when we said it, it felt like wishful thinking. Like, could you imagine if we got to this point where you had the NHL playoffs, just about wrapped up with the finals. You had, the NBA in their playoffs. And then you had, all of a sudden football kicking off and college football kicking off. Like, just, hoping that would actually become a reality.
Yeah, and that's where we are. I mean, we are full throttle ahead. Like, it is all happening right now. And we get football on Thursday, and basketball's here, and that's been really, really entertaining. A lot for us to do. ESPN Radio is always presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCRP are via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our guest list today, Marcus May in about 12 minutes at 9:15, Jamison Crowder at 10 o'clock, Mike Tenenbaum at 10:15. No Canty today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Before we get to the Yankees, and what a disaster that was last night. Do we have a name for this baby yet?
We do. We have a name.
Has it been told on air?
It has. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's only been one time. We went with Rocco.
Rocco.
Rocco, yep.
Do we have a middle name for the baby?
Leone. Rocco Leone, because Cassie
Rocco
wanted Leo.
Leone DiPietro.
Yeah.
He's Italian, yes?
I would say, yeah. if you were wondering what he's Italian, yes.
Love it.
A lot of expectations with that name, I think, though.
Yeah. No, you've yeah, but you know what? He's got all the advantages. He'll be fine.
We'll see. He'll be tough. I can tell you that. I mean, Milo is his big brother. He'll be tough. Dude, he's humongous, Dave.
How big is he now? So he's 2 weeks old?
Yeah, he's 2 weeks. He's 2 weeks. He'll be 3 weeks on Thursday. He came out at 9'7", and we took him for his doctor visit last week, and he was 10 pounds, and he was
10 pounds.
21 and 3/4 inches.
Woo.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's a big baby.
All he does is eat. I mean, that's really all he wants to do is eat.
Well, at 10 pounds, not even 3 weeks old, it sounds like it. It sounds like
the kid. The funniest thing is the kids get so frustrated. Like, they just want to play with him. Like, why is he always sleeping? Why is he always eating? I'm like, that's what he does. That's all. That get used to it. Yeah, he's only 2 weeks old. That's all he's going to do.
Yeah, for months. All he's going to do, and then eventually give you the smile, and then you'll fall in love, and it's unbelievable. All right, so before Marcus May joins us, I mean, that Yankees game last night. And you know what the thing is that's curious to me? The Yankees fans are a lot of, we have so many injuries, and it's true, and you can't take that away. But here's the thing. With all the injuries to the side, the bullpen has been horrendous. And Britton, Chapman, Ottavino, Green, Rick, what you saw last night was like, once a decade kind of a bullpen meltdown. That was horrendous last night.
It was a 43-minute fiasco with 67 pitches thrown.
67 pitches?
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It was, I mean, two of your most reliable guys, your high-leverage guys, they couldn't get the job done. and why he kept Ottavino out there for as long as he did.
Oh, my God. It's like he's punishing him.
He's had some questionable moves. Like Aaron Boone, I get it. You're only as good as your options, and you know guys have to go out there and perform, and you can only put them in spots. But he's had a couple of questionable calls over the last couple of games.
I mean, the Yankees, they're a 500 team. And you know, the thing is, you say, well, it's the offense, but the offense hasn't been awful in every spot. I mean, Gerrit Cole, a guy that last year, he hasn't lost a game in 30 starts, all of a sudden is human. It's like there's a lot of real concern about the Yankees, I would think, right now.
Well, it feels like the Mets, doesn't it? Like they just they take turns. Like each, you know, each aspect of the team takes turns. Like the offense just hasn't produced. Okay, so they're losing the or now the starter, I mean, isn't very good. Or their bullpen blows it. It's like they just keep taking turns and they're not playing good baseball.
No.
I get it. I mean, there's a reason like it's great, you know, next guy up. That's awesome. Like that's a great rallying cry, but the reality is that that next guy is the next guy because he's not as good as the guy he's replacing. And Yankees fans got spoiled last year with, you know, Talkman and Ford and, you know, these guys stepping in and being really productive. But at some point, I mean, they're going to revert to who they are. And they've struggled. And the guys that, you know, are supposed to be in your lineup, Gary Sanchez has been awful.
He
right?
Stinks.
Gardner hasn't been very good. Hicks hasn't been very good.
Torres.
So, I mean, the guys... So the guys that you're relying on because they're supposed to be in the lineup haven't been good either. And on top of it, now your bullpen is struggling. It's a good thing they started off 16-6, I'll tell you that.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, they're 21-20 right now?
Yeah, they're 5-14 in the last 19.
And one of those wins was that miraculous comeback against the Mets.
Of course it was. Yeah, of course.
No, but I'm just saying, like they could easily be below 500 right now. And I've said it for weeks, and I get on Saturdays, the Yankee fans go, oh, we're in trouble. I still stand by it. You got to make the playoffs this year. If you can't be one of the top eight teams, I will say this. If the Yankees don't make the postseason this year, and they're not one of the top 8 of 15 in the American League, this is one of the greatest disappointments in the history of sports. I really stand by that. Like, if you can't be, I mean, really all you have to be is like a 500 team. If you can't be a 500 team this season with the Yankees and the talent that they have, that's an embarrassing season.
Yeah, but the talent that they have is currently not playing. I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean, you got no Paxton. You got, I mean, the loss of Tommy Canley was huge.
Huge.
You got no Judge. You got no Stanton. Torres just came back. You might as well not have Sanchez. He's been brutal. I mean, this is kind of what this team is. I mean, Gerrit Cole pitches, I mean, as dominant of five innings as you could possibly pitch, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose in the sixth.
Yep.
But they haven't, I mean, they haven't run the base as well. They haven't played good defense.
No, yesterday they're playing bad baseball. Cost them in that sixth inning.
They're playing bad baseball. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, they're not playing good baseball. And right now, because of the injuries that they have and guys not performing, their margin of error is minute. They can't afford to make these mistakes. It's like we're having a conversation about the Mets when we're now talking about the Yankees.
Yeah, they're very Mets-like.
But they need these guys back, Dave. They do. And it's all, I mean, the one silver lining, if there is a silver lining, it's all in front of you right now. I mean, you play Toronto 9 more times.
Right.
And that's the team you're chasing for second place in your division.
But all you have to do is get in, right? I mean, if of any season, just get in. If you're the 7th seed, you think, now granted, the Yankees have not been good for a while, right? The last 3 weeks, they've been dreadful. But you think if they get in as the 7th seed, that the White Sox or the A's or whoever that's going to be isn't like, oh my God, we got to face the Yankees starting with Gerrit Cole in a 3-game series? I mean, that's
no,
daunting
course.
From the other side, too.
No, you're right, of course. But again, I mean, I would rather take care of business against Toronto.
Of course.
And just rather than leave it up to the crapshoot that is trying to fight for that, you know, 7th and 8th seed. And the other thing that concerns me is the same thing we saw last year with the Yankees. Yeah, I get it. You want these guys back, but they need to be back in enough time to get themselves right for the postseason.
Which is, what, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, so just being back is not good enough. Like, they need to be back and have enough time to get themselves right so they can actually be productive in the postseason. Because that was part of the problem last year. Guys were back, but they weren't back in enough time to actually have enough at-bats and everything else, so they were, you know, where they needed to be for the postseason.
Right. Well, Torres is back, so you figure by the postseason he should be okay. Sounds like Stanton's not anywhere near coming back.
It sounds like he's closer than Judge's.
Well, I mean, I don't know why they brought Judge back in that hurry in the first place.
Well, because he said he was 100% healthy, and they kept him out a couple extra days. I mean, what was it, 15 days he was out?
He couldn't even last through one game, though.
I know, and he's saying the whole time that he's 100%. This is why I always tell you, you can't listen to players, man. You can't. Because, I mean, they'll tell you they're ready, and clearly he wasn't ready. They need Urshela back.
Well, I mean, he just went on the IL.
No, I know, with the bone spur, which is going to bother him the rest of the season. But, I mean, he's what he does defensively at third base is...
No, it's terrific.
Yeah.
Montgomery doesn't look right either, by the way.
No, he hasn't looked great. He has not looked great. I would agree with that. Tanaka looked good.
If I found out later today that something was physically wrong with him, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
No, especially with the amount of injuries you see right now in Major League Baseball. It actually gets me, this is sick just because I love the NFL. Seeing all the injuries in baseball has me really concerned about the amount of injuries we're going to see in the NFL.
I agree with you.
Like, they barely hit. I mean, they barely hit, no preseason. If you saw the amount of injuries, like, from the day that they stopped doing just walkthroughs and strength training and everything else, like, that following day where they actually put on pads, the amount of injuries, like, with blown ACLs, Achilles, and everything else, like, just to ramp it up to that point where you're doing, like, you're actually live and hitting, to now all of a sudden ramping that up to week one, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Now, think about this, and you're right. I mean, we've had an inordinate amount of injuries in baseball, which is a non-contact sport, right? Which is, you'd say, of the four major sports, the most benign physically on your body. I'm not saying it's easy, but of the four, it's clearly the easiest, and you've had a glut of injuries. What happens with the NFL? I mean, what happens when we get to Thursday and Sunday and guys just start going down over and over and over?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've been so concerned about, you know, COVID-19 and the NFL, getting them credit. They've done a really good job, you know, with the testing and everything else. But, I mean, that has to be in the back of your mind. I mean, to go from – that's legitimately going from 0 to 100. Like, the pace, like the intensity, changing direction, speed and everything else from, you know, going up against your team in Fugazi scrimmages to playing live football.
Right. I mean, you're going from 0 to 100, right, in the NFL. You're going from, you know, walkthroughs, hard scrimmages, you know, whatever the case may be, to a game. That's daunting.
And by the way, you haven't been able to hit anyone but your teammate, to now all of a sudden having the opportunity in a real game too. Like, I mean, even in preseason, like, you're happy. I mean, if you're one of the guys that's going to be on the team, you're happy to go out and, you know, hit someone in a different uniform. But it's like, I mean, it's not a regular season game, so it's not going to be, you know, completely 100%. But now, I mean, week one, this is live, man. This counts. And now you get to hit someone in a different uniform?
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, it's a division rival? Oh.
This is a big game. This is a big game. And Marcus May get to join us in just a moment. Jameson Crowder, Mike Tenenbaum, all coming up on the show today. But, I mean, let's get into the Jets quickly, right, before Marcus joins us. I mean, your team is 5 days away from the start of the season. You must be very, very excited, I'd imagine, right now.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see... And I know I'm going to be realistic. Like, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, you got four new offensive linemen. I mean, the wide receiver position, I mean, with the amount of injuries they've been dealing with throughout the preseason, like, I think that's going to take some time to come together. But this is for me going to come down to, and I think every Jets fan will agree with this, it's seeing, you know, if Sam Darnold can take that next step.
Yeah, that's really, listen, you want to win games. You want the defense to be good. You're looking forward to the offensive line being improved. Lev Bell, right? Frank Gore, Crowder, all these guys. Well, what can Chris Herndon do? All those things, true. The one thing that this season will come down to is Sam Darnold. If you get to the end of the year and the Jets win five games, six games, and you say, you know what, Darnold looked really good, I think you'll feel okay about it. If you win six games, seven games, you get to the end of the season, and you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm uncertain about the future of this kid. I think you'll be very, very upset.
Yeah, I mean, if this team wins six or seven games, eight games, they get the third hardest schedule on paper. I get it. I mean, who knows? It's all about when you play a team. They have the third hardest schedule in the NFL. I mean, if they win that many games, looking at, you know, no Jamal Adams, no C.J. Mosley, like, you'd have to believe that a lot of that has to do with, you know, Sam Darnold having a great season, like the production you're getting from Sam Darnold, which would be a huge positive.
Yeah, although it is difficult to envision winning seven games if Sam Darnold is not good. You know, like it's hard to get to the end of the season to imagine You win seven games, you're like, well, Darnold wasn't very good. I think in order to win seven or eight games, he'd have to be very good. So I do, I think in some way they kind of go hand in hand, right?
Well, that's what I said. That's what I mean. I mean, yeah. So, again, because you brought up the point, like, you know, you may not be a playoff team. You may not have 9 or 10 wins, but you could be happy as a Jets fan because Sam Darnold looks good.
You could.
Like if the team wins 6 or 7 games looking at the schedule, you're right. It's going to have a lot to do with Sam Darnold playing really well. So I would look at those 6 or 7 wins and say, you know what? We're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's what this is about. You want to see the offensive line take that step. You want to see Darnold take that, certainly that next step. I think the defense will be okay. I mean, obviously you lose two of your bigger players on defense, but I think there's still talent there, and the defensive coordinator is a really, really solid D coordinator, so I think they'll be okay. I think, listen, there's some talent on this team. I just think, how quickly do they put it together? Because like you just said, a brand new offensive line, right? A quarterback who's just trying to come into his own, and not a ton of weapons to work with. So there are a lot of question marks with this club right now.
Yeah, and I think the other thing for Sam, too, is just staying healthy.
Huge.
Having the ability to play all 16.
Yeah, no, you don't want to see Joe Flacco or at any point, I wouldn't think, during the season. All right.
You got five quarterbacks.
Well, that's the bonus. All guests on DCRP here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, bring in Marcus May here on 98.7 ESPN. Marcus, we appreciate a couple minutes here. We'll get right to it. I mean, this is obviously the strangest season that we've ever seen leading up to it. What's it been like? How different has camp been for you this year than any other year in your playing career?
Just the amount of time that we've got this whole off season, dealing with no OTAs, and then just coming back, but not being able to come back full go, having to, you know, split up from the team, keep guys separated, not allowed to be in the building around the guys, can't be in the meeting rooms, so just not, you know, being around the guys, being in the building, just not being normal. The normal flow of things has been a little off, but I mean, you just got to adapt and adjust. You know, that's what we've just been trying to do since we, you know, got back up here.
Marcus, have you had to step up and take on more of a leadership role on that defense this year or so far this preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, I'm still, you know, the same mindset, you know, just show up every day to go to work. I try not to put too much more into it than what it is. Just show up and do my job, and, you know, lead the guys and, you know, just go out there and perform to the best of my ability and just communicate with the guys. So, you know, that's just what I do every day. You know, that's what I've been doing since I've been here. And just the fact that it's, you know, in this role now is, you know, definitely a blessing.
With no Mosley and no Jamal, and I don't even mean like as a leadership kind of guy, just on the field football guy, does your role change at all? Like, are you going to be asked to do different things because of not having Jamal as that other safety and all the things he was able to do?
Yeah, there will be a lot of different things you'll see me doing, lining up different plays and stuff like that. But like I said, just me going out there and playing the game that I know, playing my game, not trying to go out there and be a superhero, and, you know, try to win everything by myself because it's a team game. So just doing where I need to be, where plays that need to be made and spots I need to be at, you'll see me at different areas.
Jet safety Marcus May joins us here on the show. Marcus, you have to be excited about that, though, no? Like, having the opportunity now to kind of to show people. Because, I mean, we've had these conversations on this radio station, on this show, that, you know, Jamal, just in the positions that he puts in, sacking the quarterback and everything else, but you've been the one that cleans up the mistakes. Like, you've been that steady force on the back end. But now having this opportunity to be, you know, lined up all over the place, go after the quarterback, like, it has to excite you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it just allows me to do a lot of different things, show a lot of different, you know, abilities that I have. Covering man-to-man, blitzing off the edges, and just playing back deep in the middle of the field. You know, you can see me lining up at 3 or 4 different spots a game, and I'm excited for that.
Marcus May with us here, 98.7 ESPN, DCR on 98.7 ESPN, of course. All right, so, I mean, we're 5 days away. Like, how strange is this? You've had no preseason. You guys have done, you know, scrimmages is the most you've done in months and months and months, and all of a sudden you're 5 days away from taking on, you know, it's a big game right off the bat in Buffalo.
Right.
What is this like? What goes through your mind? How different is this than you've ever seen before? Like, it's the week of a game, and you guys haven't hit anybody but guys on your team.
I think a lot of it's going to be mental, 20 years, just coming out, you know, staying within and within the game. Obviously, there's no fans and all that kind of stuff, so you can't get caught up into all that. But you just gotta rely on technique and ability. You just gotta hit the ground running. I mean, it's the first game of the year, week one. It's been a while since everybody went live action. So you just gotta come out ready to go.
Are you a little concerned about Greg Williams? I can imagine. I mean, you're excited, but he has to be like losing his mind to get this first game going.
Oh yeah, he's ready. He's been itching at it since probably the last 2 weeks of camp. We've been mentioning it, but we're here now. We're all excited for game week. We're all looking forward to it.
What's Ashton Davis look like? I've heard really great things. During the draft, I heard how excited everyone was, and athletically, he's at such a high level. I've heard he's had a really good camp. Like, give us a little breakdown of what he brings to the table.
No, he's been doing great. I mean, he's been adapting very well and very fast. Learning the playbook, ins and outs, lining up at different positions, even doing things with special teams. So he has a pretty full plate, and just to see a rookie come in and take on all those things and all those assignments as fast as he's learning and adjusting. It's definitely exciting to see from him. I know he's excited. I know he can't wait to get out there and get in live action just to get the feeling, get that first play out the way.
Jet safety Marcus May joins us here on the show. Marcus, how has the offense look? We haven't got a chance to see him. Obviously, we haven't, no preseason games. But how has Sam and that offense look so far?
They look good. I mean, they got a backfield that's loaded. A brand new offensive line that's stacked. So Sam's been back there, doing his thing. He's been hitting targets throughout all camp. He's seems like the game is slowing down even a lot more this year than it has the past few years. He's great. You can hear it in his voice, his confidence, the way he's, just carrying himself. I'm excited for him. I'm looking forward to seeing him play this year.
Is Mekhi Becton going to be a stud left tackle at some point during his NFL career? Like, I just sheer size alone is probably something you've rarely, if ever, seen. But have you seen the potential from this kid early on?
Yeah, haven't seen something like that in a while. He's. He's other than Trent Brown. I mean, I haven't seen any offensive lineman that size and can move that way. So I'm excited for him. He's young, but he's learning. He's aggressive. He's big. He's strong, and he can move. So it's going to be exciting to see him play as well.
All right, Marcus. Last one for me before we let you go. I mean, Dave mentions Mekhi Becton. Yeah, you're supposed to be the savvy veteran on this team, the adult in the room. How are you going to let Mekhi Becton go and spend $175,000 on a big ticket necklace?
See, he did that before he got in the building, so we weren't able to talk to him. But I saw the picture and saw the chain and the necklace and everything like that. And it's huge, so it's crazy.
I mean, is that something that you guys will kind of make fun of him? I mean, I know he's a huge guy, so you want to be careful, tread lightly. But is that something that follows him around now? You spent almost $200,000 on a necklace?
I don't think it's been following around. It's probably a one-time purchase. I told him I don't advise him to get another one that big, but it's huge. it's probably too big for my chest. So I might be walking around with it one day. We'll see. I might try to get it for a weekend.
Yeah, it's $10,000.
You throw your neck out
the weekend,
Marcus.
Yeah,
Let's be honest. You wear that, you'll throw your neck out trying to lug that thing around.
Yeah, it would probably cover my whole chest. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to wear it or not.
You guys can turn it into the turnover chain though, like they do at the U.
Yeah, that is something we could do.
All right, Marcus, listen, man, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday. It's game week. We're very excited. We can't wait. We appreciate a couple minutes here.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys.
All right, good stuff. That, of course, Jets safety. The best safety the Jets have right now.
No, he's a huge key for them. Huge. It's a big season for him, too.
Financially, is a huge season for him.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's why I said, he's got to be excited now because he's kind of taken the – as far as fanfare is concerned, he's kind of taken the – well, not kind of. He's taken the backseat to Jamal Adams. And now he's going to have the opportunity to have, right. Be put in all those situations that Jamal was in last
year. If I said to you right now, who's the playmaker on the defense, It's Marcus May, isn't it?
Playmaker on that defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that you would point to, absolutely. I imagine Quinnen Williams is going to have a better season.
He has to.
Right. So, yeah, but this is, again, we haven't seen it yet or what it's going to look like. But, I mean, when you lose Jamal Adams and CJ Mosley, I mean, there is a level of concern.
The only thing I'll say is Mosley lost, yes, but it's not like you had him last year. So you were used to playing without him. Adams is huge.
Adams is huge. And your defense overachieved last year. But you saw what that defense looked like with CJ Mosley in that week one game. They were pitching a shutout.
Yeah, and they completely fell apart after. But at least you went through the entire season without him. I think it'd be worse if you had him all last year and then he got ripped away now.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point. But, yeah, I mean, how... Like, I can only speak for myself, but I was, before they traded Jamal, and the thought of having C.J. Mosley back as the quarterback of that defense was, I mean, that was exciting, because that defense was, I mean,
they were good
ravaged.
Last year.
Well, they were ravaged.
They were really good. Yes, you're right. They were really good last year. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get to the calls, 800-919-3776. The outlook for the Jets, and the outlook for the Yankees, and the outlook for the Mets. Are any of the three positive? Yankees at 500, still holding on to a playoff spot. We'll get to that next. But first, a word from Rick about DraftKings. Yep, so Jets Day here on 98.7 ESPN. That, of course, Marcus May. Jameson Crowder with us at 10 o'clock, Rick. Lev Bell at 11:15 with Barton Hahn. And Steve McClendon at 12:30. And then on the K-Show, Connor McGovern at 3:30. Joe Douglas, 4:30. Sam Darnold, 5:30. It is Jets Day here, and it should be. We are 5 days away from the start of the Jets season.
Say it again. One more time. Say it again.
We are 5 days away from the start of the Jets season. 5 days. That's it.
It's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Thursday, we get the first game of the NFL season.
Which A, should be a good game, and B, could be anybody playing, and I'd be excited about it.
Yeah, you'd be excited, but I mean, the fact that it's Kansas City, Houston,
it's great. It's great. I mean, football's back. I mean, We made it. When we were in March and we were talking about nonsense and we had nothing to discuss and we were making up topics. And listen, I thought it was entertaining and it was fun and it was ingenious of some of the stuff we did. But we were like, will we ever get to actually having a football season because of COVID, because of everything going on in the world? And Rick, we've made it. We're here. I mean, tomorrow's the last day without football you'll have to deal with for a very long time.
Yeah, fingers crossed that they continue to keep, with the testing and everything else, everything stays positive. Yeah, and we get it all in.
But it's been good. So far, so good, right?
So far, so good.
Couldn't be better for where we are on September the 8th than where we sit right now with the state of the NFL.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, knock on wood. We really, really hope. 800-919-3776. Now, how do we feel about the Jets? That could be potentially a different conversation. Let's go there. Ira, Staten Island. Ira? You're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? Hey, what's happening, Rick? And hope your holiday was good. Marcus May is a great, great kid. And, honestly, I think he has the potential to be the best player on the team. Hopefully Sam Darnold will get that franchise status at the end of the year. But May, to me, is going to grow into the leadership role. I think he's going to fill Adam's shoes just fine. I think Gregory Williams is going to use him in every way he can. The big question is if he could be able to stay on the field. And you know what? Last year he proved he could. Hopefully this year he can. They'll lock him up for a long-term deal. But getting to the season, we've talked all summer, guys. You hit on it earlier. At the end of the year, they win somewhere between 5 and 7 games. And Donald, you have your final answer that he is your guy going forward. He's your franchise quarterback. To me, it's a successful year. And you know what? Everybody's always on Gates. And listen, I have my question marks about him. But, I think Cimini wrote it at the end of last week. I got to give him credit. I think going through the COVID situation, doing the virtual meetings, you seem like this team is really bonded. You got to put a feather in his cap for that. How that will.
Yeah, but timeout. Ira, timeout. Everyone, listen, I've been through this, right? Like, everything is great. Season hasn't started yet. We could be a playoff team. I love my coach. I love my teammates. And then all of a sudden, you go on a 2-game losing streak. You hate the coach. You hate your teammates. I mean, let's relax on that.
No, I get it. And like I said, I still have concerns going forward as a coach, and I don't know how it's going to equate to wins. I'm just saying what he did for the summer. I think he did a nice job. Let's see what happens. They start off 0-3. We're going to all have a different tune. The end of the story, Donald is is the key to the season. It's either going to be really, really good, or he's still going to be inconsistent. If he's inconsistent, then, you know, then we got real concerns. But, you know, if you get me 5 or 6 wins and they stay competitive and some of these young kids, you know, grow up this year, to me it would be a successful year. Because, you know what, they're never going to say they're rebuilding, but they carry all the money over to next year.
They're clearly rebuilding. I mean, that's clearly what Joe Douglas's timeline is a bit different than Jets fans right now.
Well, it's completely different. I mean, Joe Douglas has time. He's in the midst of a long contract.
And how are you both going to feel at the end of the year? You say, okay, you know what? This offensive line has the potential to be like a Dallas Cowboys type offensive line. Then Joe Douglas gets an A because that's what he did. He focused on the offensive line. He added a couple of pieces otherwise. But his main focus was to get that line straight. And if they play up to their potential, then I think Douglas did a great job.
How I feel about this team hinges solely on how Sam Darnold and the offense looks. Because I know that Greg Williams can coach. I'm not concerned about Greg Williams. I still have a question as to whether Adam Gase is a good coach / offensive coordinator. And I think Sam Darnold is going to be your franchise quarterback in hell. I mean, if he goes out
this year, though,
yeah.
He
but I mean,
to.
If he, well, I know that. But I mean, if he goes out and performs well, stays healthy with, you know, no preseason, condensed OTAs, all of his wide receivers have been hurt the entire preseason. And even when they're healthy, it's not the best group of skill positions, not even close, in the NFL. Like, if he can have success under those circumstances, that's a pretty positive sign.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the call, Ira. They've done him no favors, though. Now, they fixed the offensive line, but when you look at the weapons or lack thereof that he has, Rick, I mean, it's as bad as there is in the NFL.
Yeah, but that's what scares me, though, Dave, is it's the conversations after a win are a lot different than the conversations after a loss, right? Like, I think that was, I mean, never more obvious to me, and you were off last week, was that Yankees-Mets game, right? It's like both.
Which one? We talk about the 7-2 blown game?
Yeah, but both. No, it was the game the Mets won.
Oh, the 7-4 game, yeah.
But it was back and forth. It was like, depending on who won and who lost, they both had the same kind of mistakes, but you didn't talk about the mistakes for the winning team. You focus on the mistakes from the losing team.
Right.
That's what concerns me about this.
If the Jets go out there and beat the Bills 12-9, you'll be thrilled about it. If they go out there and Darnold's great and you lose that game, you'll be pleased that he was good, but you'll still be upset that you lost the game. Yeah, of course you want to go, especially game one.
No, but I mean, during the course of a season, you're more likely to really feel like Sam Darnold will be the focus regardless. Like, he's going to be either, even when you win or you lose, he'll be the focus. And if you do a lot more losing than you do winning, it's all going to be focused on Sam Darnold. And you'll nitpick every decision or every mistake that Sam Darnold makes. As opposed to when you win, you tend to overlook those little tiny mistakes.
Sure. Unless he, like, if you're losing game, if you lose the first game against the Bills 28-24 and he throws for 340 and 3 touchdowns and you know, you lost it because the defense allowed a late drive, you'll still feel really good about him and frustrated that you lost. But if you lose and he's bad, it's going to make for a rough Monday next week for us.
Yeah, exactly right. Or even he's just decent, but he has like a late interception or a fumble, whatever it is. Or what I mean, and then they lose. Everyone will be focused on, you know, Sam Darnold's. We'll get the Sam Darnold stinks phone calls.
But you're right. I mean, this season is all about Sam Darnold, and people are going to be excited or pessimistic based on what he gives you. Wins and losses matter, of course, and you don't want to go 3-13. But I can honestly see a 6-win season where at the end of the year I look at the Jets and say, you know what, I think there's real room for optimism moving forward. I can see that with this team.
And I would agree with that. I mean, I get that every Jets fan wants to believe this is a playoff team, but I mean, you haven't seen what they look like, so I guess you can have that opinion. But when you just look at their schedule and everything else, and, you know, new offensive line, defense loses 2 huge pieces. Like this, they're going to have their hands full. And I think for me personally, and maybe I just speak for myself, my focus is less about wins and losses at this point and more about Sam Darnold and Adam Gase.
I think that's right. I think you're right. And you know what? Let's be fair. I think it's similar with the Giants. Don't you? If the Giants win 6 games and Daniel Jones is good, and you like what Joe Judge does, and they're competitive, and the defense takes a step forward, you won't be heartbroken if you're a Giants fan if they win 6 games this year, I wouldn't think.
No, I mean, I felt the same way about the Giants last year. I mean, your defense was horrendous.
But they stunk. Like, they were non-competitive last year.
No, I get it, but there was reason for excitement because Daniel Jones emerged as your starting quarterback. Like,
yes.
He was legit. But the only difference being, I mean, what you just said about, you know, Joe Judge. You got a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. The biggest difference is Daniel Jones is going into his second year. So that's, I mean, you would expect that they would be still, you know, rebuilding. Sam Darnold's going into year three. You know what I mean? Like, it's your schedule with Sam Darnold is off.
Right. It is. You shouldn't be going into year three saying, I think we have the quarterback. I think, I'm not sure, but I think we have it. You should feel more confirmed that you, well, yeah, no, you know, I mean, we have that guy.
Well, how can you not? Listen, it's, again, I think Sam Darnold is going to emerge as our franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years.
So do I.
That's,
I agree.
Okay. Let's get past that. The bigger thing is, in year three of your rookie quarterback, you shouldn't have the feeling from your GM that he's still rebuilding. With what we've seen in the NFL, and you look at the young quarterbacks in the NFL, by year two, and especially by year three, they've surrounded them with enough talent where they feel like they should be a playoff team. And that's not where we're at with the Jets.
No. It still feels like you're stage one, maybe two of the rebuild, where you should be at three or four right now, going into year three for him.
Exactly right.
Yeah, well, I agree.
So, I mean, again, I think he's capable of doing it. Does it concern me because of what we've seen, his, you know, the things that get him in trouble, like, you know, trying to sometimes do too much or make throws that he probably shouldn't, but he realizes, like, if I don't, who's going to? I still think that could be an issue, especially if you have a bad defense. If your defense isn't as good as it was last year and you're giving up a lot of points and he's got to throw the ball a ton and, you know, your wide receivers aren't great, that does kind of, you know, lead me to believe that he's probably going to throw some interceptions, which, again, is something he'll be criticized for, which I don't know if is fair or not.
It's probably not. I got to tell you, I don't know how bad this defense is going to be. I still think that they're talented enough with Greg Williams that they'll be, even if they take a step back, I still think they'll be at worst a middle-of-the-road defense this year.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll be as good as they were last year.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, how can you? You lost an all-pro safety, and I know you didn't really lose him from last year's team, but you lost C.J. Mosley also. So those are two big pieces that you were relying on for this year.
Yeah, two big pieces. I mean, you don't have any notable edge pass rush. You decided not to address that. And then on top of it, your quarterback position is not great either.
No, but I think the defense should be serviceable.
Which is fine. That's fine. I'm not worried about the defense in Greg Williams. I already know Greg Williams can coach, and he'll get the best out of that defense. My concern is the offense in Adam Gase. That's my huge concern.
Yep, I tend to agree with you. No Canty today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. And then it's the day before. Then we get football on Thursday night. Then you get the full day on Sunday. Then you get the two games on Monday. I love the fact, Rick, by the way, that the Giants and the Jets are nowhere near time-wise against each other. So you can focus on each one individually.
It's my biggest pet peeve of the NFL season.
Well, when they both play at 1 o'clock?
I can't stand it.
It's very difficult.
It's the worst. It's not difficult. It's the worst because I got to tape one. I got to tape the Giants and then watch it later. It's awful.
Well, you have the multi-television setup.
Yeah, but I can't do it like that. I tape it, that way I can listen. I like to get the sound on that one. The New York football teams, I need the sound. I can't just put it up on one of the top TVs.
No?
It's disrespectful.
So how does your TV setup work then on a typical Sunday?
I'll have the Jets in the red zone on the big screen, and then I'll have two separate games on the left and then two separate games on the right. And then I have the remote control figured out where the guy set me up that all now, once it's set up, all I have to do is press previous on the remote, and I can switch between games on the top.
It's beautiful.
And then I got the ticker. It gives me all the scores.
You got Milo involved in these football Sundays yet?
Yeah, I mean, he's involved. I mean, he likes everything about football Sundays, including the pizza or the pancakes, but, I mean, to try to get him to sit and watch a football game is virtually impossible.
Not yet, huh?
He'll watch for a minute, and then he'll go off and do something, and then he'll come in, and he'll see someone, like, make a big play or a tackle, and then he'll, jump on my face and try to tackle me during the game and then go have a snack and then he'll come back and then he's thirsty.
Well, he associates football with eating, huh?
Yeah, like he just wants to tailgate. That's all he wants to do.
You know, it could be worse. Could be worse. All right.
Oh, by the way,
yeah.
I know when you're off. I get it. I understand it. Did you happen to be listening over the last couple of days about the chipmunk update?
I actually did hear something. I guess I was in the car Friday, and I heard you give an update for the first time in a long time about the chipmunk. He reappeared, right?
Oh, no, he didn't reappear. I thought I did a great job. I didn't have to kill it. Like, the guy, yeah, I was getting peppered. Like, do the bucket of doom with the water, just kill it. I was like, I'm not going to kill the chipmunk. Like, I'd like to relocate the chipmunk. But, I mean, we put some stuff outside, and I hadn't seen it. I'm like, okay, I mean, whatever we did worked, right? Just thinking I'm, like, proud of myself. Like,
but
I
he
did
never
it.
Went away.
Not only did he not go away, he's been living in the garage the whole time.
I did.
You're laughing.
I love it.
What, he just, set up
did he
shop
set up like a little hammock in the garage.
No, this is the best. So I bought Milo a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago for Christmas. He wanted one of those Power Wheel John Deere tractors. So in the shovel part of the tractor, he set up shop, like full house situation.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And
like
you walked in on him like just relaxing in the tractor.
I think he got up for a snack, and all of a sudden, like out of the corner of my eye, I was like, "What the hell was that?" And I look over, and it made its way up into its home, and it's this little toilet where it's pooping and everything. Whole little setup. God. Oh, yeah. So we had to disinfect everything.
Yeah, that would be the end. Like, I'd probably have to move.
Oh, we got... Yeah, you're not kidding. You should have seen what that garage looked like. Of course, what do you think I had to do? Everything out of the garage.
Oh, sure, you had
everything
to, like,
gets washed.
Rub
everything
it
gets,
and
oh.
Sanitize it, and yeah, I'm sure. I'm
she's going to be on hands and knees.
Listen, I don't blame her for that. What varmint living in my garage.
I don't do well with that stuff. I'm telling you right now, I do not do well.
All right, you do well with Andy from Merrick, and let's bring him on. Andy from Merrick, happy Tuesday. Good morning. What's going on, pal?
Good morning, DCR. I got questions for you, but first, Rick, to beat Tampa Bay, a chicken's not going to do it. You got to take out that chipmunk. You got
to
take
I'm not doing it to the chipmunk. I'm not going to do that. No. Listen, I'll double up the chicken. I'll go, how about this? I went Popeyes last time. I'll go Popeyes. Destroy a whole chicken. I'll even go rotisserie. I'll go Boston Market. Maybe I'll just, you know what? Maybe I'll just roast a couple chickens myself. Maybe I'll destroy three chickens for this one.
Okay, whatever you got to do.
And Dave will choke his. By that, I mean, at that point, we can't lose.
Hello?
What is happening here? Is this Islanders talk or is this you have questions for us, Andy?
I got questions.
Andy and I, listen.
For God's sakes.
Andy and I are pretending like game one never happened, all right?
That's
lucky for us. Lucky for us, they don't do aggregate score, so we don't have to worry about
that's
it.
That's right. It's not soccer. Go ahead, Andy.
Dave, do you know it's Jets Day on the station?
Oh, it's Jets Day on the station, Andy. We got Jameson Crowder, Mike Tannenbaum, Lev Bell, Steve McClendon, Connor McGovern, Joe Douglas, Sam Darnold. All of them will be here on 98.7 ESPN.
That's good, because I have four Jet questions for the two of you.
All right.
Put your heads together. Let me know who holds the Jets' single-season passing record for touchdowns. 31 in one season.
Fitzpatrick.
Is it Testaverde?
No, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I heard Rick say...
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, is it?
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, most career TD receptions, 88.
Ooh, most TD. Is that...
Career TD receptions?
Going back a long way.
That's got to be Maynard, doesn't it?
Yeah, is it Maynard?
It does have to be Maynard.
Yeah.
Nice.
2 for 2 for Ricky. Weeb Eubank, of course, holds the club record with 71 coaching wins. Can you tell me who's number 2 with 53?
Rex has to be up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was going to say Rex got to be somewhere up there, right?
Rex is 3rd. Herm is 4th.
How about...
Think mid-80s.
Is it Walton?
Joe Walton is correct.
Joe Walton?
2nd all-time in Jet coaching wins.
That's crazy.
God.
And finally, there are 2 defensive players who have had their numbers retired. Name them, please.
Come on, David.
I wonder if... I guess Dennis Byrd hasn't.
Klecko's got to be
one. I know Namath has.
Maynard, definitely. Maynard's number's been retired too, hasn't it?
Yep.
2
defensive players, both linemen.
Both linemen.
Why do I not know this? Why is? God, I know this. Who is it? I think you've already said his name. What?
You did.
I said his name?
Yeah, you already said it. It was the first thing that came to your mind.
No, I don't remember.
Number 90.
Dennis Byrd, huh?
That's it. Byrd and Klecko. Great job,
awful.
Fellas. Stay healthy as always.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Terrific job. We appreciate it. I remember that day. It was against the Chiefs, a rainy Sunday afternoon at Giants Stadium. Was awful, awful.
That wasn't your best performance. I gotta be honest.
We got them all right.
No, I know, but you're usually quicker than that. You took a long time off. I mean, that's an extensive vacation.
I took a week off.
A week plus a day. I mean, that's plus you had the extra weekend. I mean, that's a lot of time to be off.
Well, all right. I don't think I've been bad today.
No, I think you've been good. I'm just saying, like, you're usually the high expectations.
Yeah, I guess that wasn't my sharpest. That's okay.
Yeah, I expect the best.
I mean, it's the Jets. I figured let me defer to you a little bit. It's your team.
I appreciate that. I mean, I got a couple
Giants,
early.
I'll take care of business. Don't worry. Listen, we were fine. We were fine. Joe
Walton's
second most wins.
No, that's... Dude, I'm telling you. That's why I
didn't want to believe that was true.
When Ryan Fitzpatrick got the record, and we realized it was a record, it was like, are you serious? Like, this is what we have. This is the guy who has the touchdown record?
And 31 for the most touchdowns in the history of the franchise is not exactly a ton either.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.